We're in Perek Tes of Yehoshua, so let's just review quickly what we started, just the first couple of psukim last week. Let's just run through them quickly again, just so we know what we're talking about, and then we can go on. So pasuk aleph, Vayichi shmo kol ha-melochim asher be'iver ha-yardin b'horu v'ashvelo v'chol chof ha-yam ha-gadol el mul ha-levanon. So basically, all of these kings, wherever they lived, Ever Hayarden in the mountains and in the valleys, along the seashore, everywhere they lived, Hachitiva, Ha'amori, Haknani, Haprizi, Hachivi, Haivusi. We mentioned that these are six nations that are mentioned. The only one that's not mentioned is the Girgashi, and we said because the Girgashi had fled. We'll see an interesting thing a little bit later about this, but the Girgashi had fled because, if you remember from last week, we said that after they crossed the Yarden, so Yehoshua sent three letters to all the local kings, and the first one said we're asking you to make peace, right? We're coming. We'd like to make peace with you. The second one said that if you're not interested in peace, then we're happy to fight you. And the third one said that if you don't want to fight, then you have to get out of here, right? You have to flee. And the Girgashi were the ones that fled, but everyone else got together and they banded together and they decided to fight. We mentioned last week also that that's why they all banded together. So this was like a miraculous thing for Yehoshua. And some of the Mefarshim, the Al-Sheikh, says that he specifically defeated the city of Ai with incredible military strategy. Why? To fool everyone that this was just a Derech HaTeva. This was a natural battle, natural war. So they all thought, all the nations of Eretz Canaan thought, let's get together. If they're fighting natural strength, let's get together and we'll defeat them if we're all together. Right? The numbers will defeat them. So little did they know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really behind it, and Yehoshua really just did this as a ploy. Pasuk Beis, Vayiskavtzu Yachtav Lehilachim Yehoshua Yisrael Pe'echad, all of these kings, all of these nations got together, decided they're going to fight, unified, they're going to fight against the common enemy, right? The Jew, we're always the common enemy, B'nai Yisrael. So that's what they did. And we have the one exception in Pasuk Gimel, V'yoshvei Givon Shamu Eis Asher Asa Yehoshua Liricho Vela'ai. So the Yoshvei Givon, those who settled in the place of Givon, so they heard about what Yehoshua did to Yericho and to Ai, and they're a little bit nervous. So again, we mentioned last week, I think this was the last pasuk we did last week, that Mitzudas David says that they looked at Yericho and Ai specifically, and they were scratching their heads, because Yericho was very clearly a miraculous victory. Ai seemed very clearly to be a natural victory, right? And that's what we read about, all the different approaches and the troops and this and that and the ambush and from all the different directions. So they were very confused. How is this nation fighting? Are they fighting in a miraculous way? Or are they fighting in a natural way? So they're very confused. So they think to themselves, you know what? Ai was probably a trick. That probably they are fighting in a miraculous way. They are fighting with God behind them. And this whole business with Ai and the different strategies was really just a ploy. It was just a trick. They're trying to fool us. And really, we have no chance. Right? Really, we have no chance. So what's the point in fighting with them? We have no chance. Their God is going to defeat us anyway. So let's come and make peace with them. They were very nervous about this. And, unlike all the other nations. All the other nations decided, let's just fight them. But they were very nervous. And that's why they decided, we need to make peace with them. We can't fight them. So they also had this mistaken notion. The Malbim explains that maybe the Jewish people would not call out to them in peace, right? Because as we mentioned, Yericho and Ai, because they were the first two battles, Yehoshua did not make any specific, overture to them for peace. Why? Because he had just done that to everybody. He had just sent a general notice to everybody, we'd like to make peace with everybody. So now he didn't have to do it again for these two nations. As we see later on, as he goes through the other battles, he will do it again because, people forget and people, wears off. But for the very beginning, he didn't do it. So they also see that. They see, wait a minute, the Jewish nation did not make a peace overture, even though they really did. But the people of Givon didn't see that. They didn't see it that way. And therefore, they're nervous. These guys are just going to come and wipe us out. So we have to make peace with them. Now,
this peace overture business, didn't it say that we have to drive the nations out?
Okay.
In the Torah.
Right. So
all of a sudden we make a peace. Now, if you make peace, if you're telling me that all these nations came together, so they built a huge army that's comparable to the Jewish army, then it wouldn't have been a majority of Yidden in Yisrael.
Right.
Everybody right. accepted peace.
Right. So, again, I don't know the numbers. I don't know the numbers. Now, peace, keep in mind, we said this last week. I believe it was the Malbim who explains at length. Exactly, right. There's a little meaning. Peace means there's a lot that comes with it. It's not just... Exactly, right. So they have to, number one, accept the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. They have to get rid of their Avodah Zarah, right, which is not so simple. Right? We can't tolerate Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, nowadays, sometimes we have no choice. Right? But, you know, when we were in charge, we didn't tolerate Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. You want to live? You want to live as a non-Jew? Sure, 100%. Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, right? They also had to pay taxes. They had to be our, you know, our slaves for whatever that was worth. So it wasn't so simple. You know, it wasn't so simple.
Theoretically, it could have been sizable.
Yes.
Even if
right.
it was a minority, a
right.
sizable
right.
minority.
Right. Correct.
The most
correct. Jews. Right. 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 Yeah. Right? Correct. Right.
When you read the Torah, it sounds like he doesn't want anybody to remain there.
Right. Right. But again, I think the idea is that he doesn't want anybody to remain there who's going to live a life of Avodah Zarah.
But I mean, they were upset that they let the Jebusites stay by Yerushalayim, right?
Right, right.
So, right. I mean, it's upsetting, but the Jebusites made a treaty.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. So you have to look at each situation. You have to look at each situation. But let's see. So in Pasuk Dalid, very interesting. So they come with like a different approach here, the Givonim, right? They come with a different approach. Why? Because they know that if they just come to Yehoshua and just ask for peace, it's not going to be so simple. Right? It's not going to be so simple. They're from Givon. They're from a local area, and we know the halacha is that osachaya kol neshama. Right? They can't. And you know, we said also last week. We mentioned from the Malbim that even if we were going to have peace with another nation, it can't be a covenant out of love. It can't be like a real, you know, peace treaty where the nations, you know, love each other. It has to be like a subordination. It has to be, you know, with paying taxes and with slavery and with getting rid of Avodah Zarah. So, you know, they were like a little nervous about this whole business, and therefore they decided to play a trick. In Pasuk Dalet, Vayasu Gamhema Be'arma, they too came with trickery. They too came with trickery. And we'll see what it means, they too. What do you mean, they too? Right? Who else came with trickery? Why are we saying Gam?
Yehoshua.
Okay, good. So you're saying Yehoshua maybe because of Ai, right? Because of the way he tricked everybody when he fought with Ai. Good, okay. Some of the Mefarshim suggest other ideas as well. Vayelchu vayitzdayaru. Okay, so they went and they vayitzdayaru means they made themselves like messengers. You know, like they were messengers from a faraway land, from a distant land. Vayikhu sakim balim lachamorehem. They took these old beat up sacks for their donkeys. Vinodos yayin balim, and they took flasks of wine that were also old and beat up, umivukaim, and they were cracked, umitzororim, and they were old and they were decrepit. So they're basically trying to make it look like they've been on the road for a long time. They're trying to make it look like they come from a distant land and they've been on the road for a long time. This is a very, very distant place, and that's how they're coming. That's how they're coming. Now it's interesting. The whole gam is fascinating. So I think Pashup Shad, I think what Irwin said is a lot of merit, and maybe the Gam is like just like Yehoshua tricked, you know, was tricking them when he fought with the city of Ai, so they're also going to play a trick. Rashi, some of them first suggest, you know, more other interpretations. So Rashi says that Givon was actually, they were from the Chivi nation. Right? We know the seven nations of Canaan, so Givon was from the Chivi nation, and he says Shechem was also from the Chivi nation. Okay, now where do we have trickery and Shechem? So in the story of Yaakov's sons in the Torah, of Shimon and Levi, they tricked the entire city of Shechem, all the men, and they said, hey, no problem, we'll marry with you, we'll intermarry, just everybody get a bris milah. And then on the third day, everybody was in pain, they came and they slaughtered everyone, right, to get back at them for what happened with Dina. So that was an incredible trickery, right? So this was almost, you know, the Chivi nation getting back at the Jewish people. They're like, you know, we also can play it, can play this game. We too can play this game, this trickery game. So that's why they came and they tried to trick the Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael. The Radak also mentions that idea, but he mentions a couple of others as well, and he says that that Yericho, that every city had some sort of a strategy to protect themselves or to fight against the Jewish people, So Yericho, what was Yericho's strategy? The pasuk says Yericho was sogeras umesugeras. Yericho was very fortified. They had a wall. It was a very fortified city. So that was their strategy. Now that didn't work because miraculously HaKadosh Baruch Hu just made the walls fall down, right? The city of Ai, they also protected themselves. They didn't have a wall and a protection the same way that Yericho did, but they fought. They went out to fight the Jewish nation. So this was their idea. So says the Radak, Vayasu Gam Hema Be'arma. Gam is referring to also, just like Yericho had a strategy, and just like I had a strategy, this was Givon's strategy. Givon's strategy, they saw the first two strategies didn't work, so they said, you know what, let's try something else. And they said, we're gonna fool him, we're gonna trick him. They also another interpretation that he brings is that maybe it's also the Gam is also the trickery of Bnei Yisrael. Why? Because again, they're kind of confused. According to the Radak, they thought that they did call out in peace to Yericho, and then they came and they slaughtered them. So they said the Bnei Yisrael themselves are playing games, right? They're calling out in peace, and then they're going and wiping everybody out. So what's this all about? So that's another interpretation that they were adding to the trickery of Bnei Yisrael. And in fact, the Radak says a fascinating thing. He says that they kind of had a hunch that they would be exposed. They knew they couldn't carry on this game forever. They had a hunch they would be exposed. But they knew that the Jewish people were an honest people. And once the Jewish people would make a deal with them, would make a treaty with them, they wouldn't be able to renege even once they were exposed. Okay, now that's not so simple, right, as we'll talk about, because you know normally we have a concept in Judaism of, certainly when it comes to sales, right, purchases, and say you have a concept of mekach tos. Right, and if you make a sale, if you purchase something based on misinformation, right, you know the seller tells you something that's not true, right? He says the car has 30,000 miles, right? Meanwhile, he fiddled with the odometer and it really has 130,000 miles, right? So it's a mekach tos. I that's not what I bought. I bought something that was different. I was under misinformation. So it's not so simple. But they felt that the Jewish people were very honest, and therefore even once they make this deal. You know, even though we're kind of playing games here and we'll be exposed, but it's okay. They won't go back on it.
How does the Radak learn? Because the Radak basically said that the Jews were trickery. They offered a peace plan and then wiped out the city of Yericho.
Right. So in reality, that's not really what happened. That's what the Givonim thought. Again,
I got you.
Right.
But I'm saying that here it says, why would they trust? If the Givonim thought that, then why would they say they're honest people?
Oh, you're saying once they make the deal. I think they felt that once they make the treaty, once they sign on the dotted line, they're not going to go back. Mm-hmm. Meaning to mislead them and to say, okay, you know, let's make peace, and then they're going to pounce on them, that's one thing. That's just a strategy. But once they actually make the treaty and they actually follow through with it, then I think they felt like they wouldn't go back. Okay, let's keep going. Pasuk, hey. Una'alos balos umetula'os beraglehem. And they had these, again, these worn-out shoes on their feet. Mitulos, the Mitzudas David says it means they were spotted. You know, when you have old worn out shoes, so they have all sorts of spots of different colors, you know, yeah, and it fades and it gets stained, and you know, they had these spotted worn out shoes, Biraglehem. Uslamos balos alehem, and their clothing was like, you know, tattered and worn out. The cholechem tzedam yavesh hayah nekudim, and all of the bread that they traveled with, right, like Tzedal Aderach, right, the bread that they took on their journey was all Yavesh, it was dry, right, it was like dry, hard bread, and it was Nekudim. What's Nekudim? Nekudim also means that it was like Nekuda, it's a spot, right, so it was also like spotted, it was moldy, you know, like it was spoiled, you know, pieces were, you know, different parts were moldy, it looked like, you know, these people had been on the road for a very long time. Vayelchu el Yehoshua el Hamachaneh HaGilgal. So they approach Yehoshua and the Jewish camp, which is in Gilgal, as we know. Vayomru elav ve'el ish Yisrael. And they tell him and ish Yisrael. Very interesting term, right? What is ish Yisrael? Ish Yisrael means a person, right? A man of Bnei Yisrael. What does that mean? We'll see what that means in a minute. Me'eretz rechok avanu. Right? We come from a very faraway land. Ve'ata kirsu lanu bris. And we're asking, let's strike a deal, right? Let's make a treaty. Let's create a covenant here. Let's strike a deal. They so again, the Ralbag also says here, right? They knew that if they were just going to come and ask for peace, there was no chance for survival, right? Because it wouldn't be able to be on their terms. Lo sechaya kol neshama. We know that the Jewish people have a mitzvah. They can't let anybody live who's not going to accept the peace on their terms, and therefore they came from a distant land. And they're offering. In fact, you know, and we'll see in a minute, you know, what they're offering. They're offering that we're going to be your slaves. Now the Malbim here, interestingly, and he kind of like works through all the Pesukim like this, he says that there are three types of treaties. Three types of treaties that you can have between different countries. So he says that one type of treaty is the treaty between two nations, basically two neighboring nations, just to respect each other's borders. Right? So we have two nations, one right next to the other, and we're going to make a pact, we're going to make a treaty that we respect each other's borders. You know, this is the border, this is where my land ends and your land begins. And that's one type of treaty. He explained that this treaty is really made, it's not just made by like the government of the land, but it has to be accepted by everyone in the country. Right? It has to be accepted by everyone. Why? Because if my land is on the border, right, and some guy from the other country's land is on his border, so we have to agree to this. So this is something that everybody has to be on board with. Right? Everybody in the land has to be on board with this, so with this type of treaty. Now obviously that treaty can only be with two neighboring lands, right? Two neighboring countries. The second treaty, he says, is with two countries that are not neighbors necessarily, but they have to be somewhat close to each other, and that's like a military alliance. Right? So they're not next to each other, these lands, but they have a military alliance, and therefore, basically, they make an agreement that if one of them is attacked, the other one will come to help. Right? We actually learned about this a little bit when it came to Basel. We said that there were like satellite cities, and if Basel was attacked, everybody else would come out to help protect them. Right? So that's another type of treaty. And he says that treaty is really for the kings. The kings of the nation really make that treaty. Why? Because it has to do with the military. Right, so it has to do with each and every citizen of the country. It doesn't really affect each and every citizen of the country. It's really just the military has to be on guard and has to go out to support the other country. And then he says the third type of treaty is really a spiritual alliance. It's a spiritual alliance where one nation accepts the religion, right, the ideas, the moral code of the other nation. And again, that also, he says, has to be with everyone. Everyone has to buy into that. That can't just be the king, because if the king comes along and accepts some sort of religious, you know, moral treaty, moral alliance, it's not going to do anything, because it has to trickle down. Everybody's got to be on board. Every citizen has to be on board with this type of alliance. And he's going to go through and say that the Givonim were really trying their hand at each one of these types of treaties to see what would work. So number one, he says they came and just said, listen, we want to respect borders. We want to respect borders. Now, Bnei Yisrael start scratching their heads. Why? Because they're coming with this first type of treaty. They want to respect the borders. What borders? Right? You guys aren't even from here. You're from some distant land. So what are you talking about that you want to have a peaceful coexistence? Peaceful coexistence. If I live here and you live here, so we need to have a peaceful coexistence. But you're telling me you're from some distant land. So what are you coming and talking about a peaceful coexistence? What does that have to do with me? You know, I never met you before. I don't even know where you live. So Bnei Yisrael really didn't buy what was going on. They thought it was very fishy. Now, so let's look at Pasuk Zayin. So Pasuk Zayin, Vayom, it says Vayomru, right? But it's read Vayomer. Vayomer Ish Yisrael El Hachivi. Right? So now, Ish Yisrael, and the Mefarshim explained that Ish Yisrael is really a reference to the Nesiim. Whenever we see the word Ish or Anashim, it always means something significant, Chashuvim. So it means it's referring to the Nesiim, right? The leaders of the Shvatim, the leaders of the tribes. So they come and they tell El Achivi, they tell this nation of Chivi. And again, Pashup Shad, as we said, was that the Givonim were from the Chivi nation. And they tell them, Ulai Bikiri Ata Yoshev. Right? They're saying, one second. Maybe really you live nearby. Right? Maybe really you live nearby. You're telling us you're from some distant land, but it doesn't seem to make sense because, you know, what you're proposing, that we're going to live in peaceful coexistence, that really only makes sense if you live near us. So maybe really you live near us. Maybe really you're from this area. Ve'ech echros l'chavris. And if that's the case, if you really live here, you're a local nation, then we can't make a bris with you. We can't make a loving covenant with you, right? You know, you're one of the seven nations. We have to either we're going to fight you, or you're going to accept some sort of a quote-unquote peace treaty on our terms. But we're not going to make this this kind of covenant, this kind of treaty that you're looking for, this kind of peaceful coexistence. So that's the Pashup Shad. The Radak, interestingly, says that the Chivi here also is a reference to the word Chivya in Aramaic. What does Chivya mean? Chivya means a snake. Right? So what's the connection with a snake to this story? So the first trickster, right? The first one in the Torah to start playing games was who? Was the Nachash, was the snake. So it's referencing that these, they're trying the same malacha as that original Chivya, as that original snake that was tricking, that ended up tricking Adam and Chava. Okay. It's interesting. The Radak here, he talks about this at length, and he says that really, in the end of the day, we'll see that they end up tricking Bnei Yisrael into some sort of a treaty. And he says Bnei Yisrael really should have killed the Givonim right after this. We'll see that they won't, that they're not going to kill them afterwards. But even once they're exposed, they're going to give them menial tasks. They're going to give them some menial tasks to do, but they're not going to kill them. He says, but really, Bnei Yisrael should have killed them for making them, for tricking them into a treaty. So why didn't they kill them? So he says, because it's a Chilul Hashem. That was really the only reason that they weren't killed. Because of a Chilul Hashem. Why? Because people in the world might hear about the treaty. They may not hear about the fact that the whole way that they did it was by tricking Bnei Yisrael. So because of this suspicion that people in the world are going to hear about the treaty and not hear about the trickery of the Givonim, because of that, to kill them would be a Chilul Hashem. People are going to see it. They're going to say, Bnei Yisrael makes covenants with people, they make treaties with people, and then they kill them. So it's a Chilul Hashem. So because of the great Chilul Hashem, that's why they weren't killed in the end. I mean, we'll see what happens to them in the end. But they end up getting pretty hard work and these menial tasks. Interestingly, so we mentioned before that when we read the Psukim, the one nation that's left off is the Girgashi. Right? We said the Girgashi was the one nation that fled. So the Radak brings several other opinions also, even though the Girgashi is the one nation that's not listed in that Pasuk, but he says there are other opinions in Chazal of different nations that left. He said some say the Prizi left, and the most interesting one is that he said some say the Kanani left. The Kanani nation left. Okay? And he says, what's so special about the Kanani nation left? He says, you ever wonder why the land was called Eretz Canaan? There were seven nations there, right? How come it's not called Eretz Girgash or Eretz Chivi, right? Why is it called Eretz Canaan? And we even refer to it, certainly when we're talking about we talk about it, Eretz Canaan, it's all over the Torah. So why do we refer to it as Eretz Canaan? So he brings an opinion that says that the one nation that fled was the Kanani nation. They fled. They were the ones who fled. They said, the Jews are coming, we're out of here. And because of that, they were rewarded that the land was therefore always called Eretz Canaan. They were rewarded for fleeing, that it was called Eretz Canaan. And he says, not only that, but where did they go? They went to Africa. And he says, Africa is a beautiful country. So he says, they were also Zoche, not only because they left, not only were they Zoche that Eretz Yisrael was referred to as Eretz Canaan, but they were Zoche to Africa, which is a beautiful country, which has wonderful things. I guess there are different parts of Africa. But the Sahara is probably a challenging place to live. Sorry?
Which part of Africa is very beautiful?
I don't know. I've never been to Africa.
Gloria Falls.
Yeah, I'm sure there are parts that are very beautiful. But it's interesting. But that's what he says. He calls it Afriki. He refers to referring to Africa. But okay.
So before this treaty,
yeah.
The Torah actually calls it Eretz Canaan.
Right, yeah, no, so exactly. So you have to say that the Torah is doing that because of what's going to happen, right? What's going to happen. Okay. The Al-Sheikh says, interestingly, he says, if you look at Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin, what happened to Yehoshua? In Pasuk Vav, they come by Yelchu El Yehoshua, right? By Yomru Elav El Ish Yisrael. And then who responds in Pasuk Zayin? Only the Ish Yisrael. So Yehoshua is not responding. They're approaching Yehoshua and the Nesiim, according to the approach that the Ish Yisrael is the Nesiim, and only the Nesiim are responding, not Yehoshua. Why? So the Al-Sheikh says Yehoshua is very suspicious of this whole thing. right? He sees them, he hears what they have to say, and Yehoshua is very suspicious about what's going on. So the Nasi, he didn't respond, because he's still trying to figure things out. He's still trying to figure out, you know, are they legitimate, are they not legitimate, what's going on here? You know, where are these guys from? The Nasiim, you know, kind of like took the bull by the horns, and they're the ones who responded. And it actually refers to them as Ish Yisrael in the singular, says the Al-Sheikh, because they were all unified. And all the Nasiim were together in this day. They said, you know what, let's do it. Let's approach them. Now the Malbim says that the Ulai, if you look at the pasuk, what does it say? Ulai bikir biata Yoshev. Right? Maybe really you live here. Okay? So he says the word Ulai always means that it's, well, it means maybe. Certainly in modern Hebrew, Ulai means maybe. But the Malbim says that when you see the word Ulai in Tanakh, it always means almost certainly a certain way. So when it says Ulai bikir biata Yoshev, they were really saying, don't you live among us? They weren't saying maybe. They were really saying, don't you live among us? You know, they were almost certain that these guys had to live here. They couldn't really be from far away. And they were saying, because it doesn't make any sense if you live here, you know, if you live nearby, you know, it doesn't seem to make sense. What are you doing? You know, if you live nearby, we can't make a treaty with you. And they're telling me you're from far away, then why do you need a treaty for? But again, you're from far, some from distant land. You know, what do you need a treaty for? It's interesting. I remember growing up, well, we, you know, the kids used to understand that whenever we asked my father for something, so it depended on how he responded. If he responded maybe, then we had a shot. If he said we'll see, that meant forget it. You know, it wasn't happening if he said we'll see. So it's interesting, like you see, like the Malbim also, you know, Lahavdil, picking up in the words of Tanakh, that Ulai doesn't really mean maybe. It really means we're almost certain that this is the case. Ulai b'kiryat Yoshev. We're almost certain that this is the case that you really settle among us. Okay, let's see Pasuk Ches. Vayomru el Yehoshua. So now, the Givonim see that the Nasiim are not really giving them too much. Right? The Nasiim are really questioning, you know, where they're from. So they then turn back to Yehoshua. Because they realize they're not getting anywhere with the Nasiim. So they turn back to Yehoshua. Vayomru el Yehoshua. And they tell Yehoshua, Avodecha anachnu. We're going to be your slaves. Vayomer aleihem Yehoshua, and Yehoshua responds to them, Mi atem umeayin tavo. One second, who are you guys? Now, where are you coming from? What's going on here? Okay, and here also the Al-Sheikh says that there are different approaches to how did they interpret Yehoshua's silence. Yehoshua's quiet. Remember, originally they approached Yehoshua and the Nasiim. Only the Nasiim responded, and Yehoshua is sitting off to the side quietly by himself. Now, they know that he's the leader. So how come he's not talking? So the Al-Sheikh says that maybe they thought that he was completely accepting, right? He was completely accepting. So they approach the Nasiim and Yehoshua. The Nasiim respond. They see that the Nasiim are questioning them. So they said, okay, you know, Yehoshua is being quiet. He probably, you know, thinks we're legit. So let's turn to Yehoshua. So they turn to Yehoshua, and then Yehoshua says, one second, I also suspect you, right? Who are you guys? I also don't understand, you know, what's going on here. The another interpretation, says the Al-Sheikh, is that maybe they thought he was angry. Maybe they thought he was angry. Why? Because when they first approached both Yehoshua and the Nasiim, right? They wanted to make a covenant, Kirsulanu Bris. So they thought that maybe Yehoshua was angry that really these people should be Yehoshua's servants. Maybe Yehoshua wanted his own slaves, right? Forget the slaves for Bnei Yisrael. Forget the slaves for the nation. Maybe Yehoshua really wanted his own slaves. So they changed their tune. And he says, that's why in the pasuk, what does it say? Avadecha anachnu. We'll be your slaves, Yehoshua, right? If that's what you want, we'll be your slaves. Forget about serving the rest of the people. We'll be your slaves. Yehoshua says, no, that's not what I'm interested in, right? Miatem. Mayayin tavo. Where are you guys coming from? And here the Malbim also says that here the Givonim are shifting gears. Because they see that their first strategy didn't work because the people are suspicious. Why are they asking for, you know, a treaty to live in peace? They don't even live here. You know, they're claiming they don't live here. What do they need a treaty to live in peace for? So he says that now they're shifting to treaty number two. Right? If you remember, so what was treaty number two? Treaty number two was a military alliance. So now he says that the Givonim are shifting to a military alliance. And he says that's why now they turn to Yehoshua. Because the first treaty needed everybody. So they went to the Nasiim, who represent all of the Shvatim. But they see that they're suspicious about this, so the Givonim now change their tune. And they say, okay, you know what? We'll turn to Yahushua, who was the king, and we'll discuss a military alliance. We'll discuss another type of treaty. Okay? Yahushua then says, one second, Miatem u'me'ayin tavo, who are you and where are you from? Meaning, if you live far away, you're telling me you're from a distant land, then what good is a military alliance going to do? Right? You're going to be in trouble. We're not going to be able to get there in time to help you. So what are you talking about? Okay? And and also he's asking them, like, you know, what's the name of your nation? What's the name of your country? You know, we gotta know who we're talking to here. You know, who are we making this alliance with? They didn't say anything. You know, they all, as we're gonna see, look in Pasuk Tes, how did they respond? Vayomru Elav, Me'eretz Rechoka Me'od Ba'u Avodecha. We come from a very far away land. You know, it's like don't even, I'm not even going to say what it is, because you're never going to recognize it. It's so far away, it's so distant, that you're not going to be familiar with it. You're not going to recognize it. There's no point in us even mentioning the name of the land. Okay? So, you know, the Malbim also mentions here that they could have made up a name. That they could have made something up, you know, if it was some far away land. Why didn't they just make up a name? You know, we're from the Woodmereites, you know, I don't know, we're from some strange place called Woodmere, right? You know, they could have made something up, but they got nervous that if they made up a name, and they made this peace treaty on the basis of some fake name, so then really it would not be effective, right? It really would not be effective if it was made up with some, you know, fake name, you know, Woodmere. What's Woodmere, right? It wouldn't be effective. So that's why they couldn't make up a name. But look at what they say now. They say, we came from a very faraway land. We're not even going to tell you the name. It doesn't pay because, well, you know, there's no way you're going to recognize it. But look what, now all of a sudden they change their tune again. L'shem Hashem Elokecha. Right? We came, Bo Avadecha, L'shem Hashem Elokecha. We're coming for God's sake. We're coming for Hashem. We're coming for God's sake. All of a sudden they're changing their tune. First they wanted Kir Sulam Bris. We just want a military alliance. We just want a peace treaty, you know, respect each other. And then they turn to Yahushua, to the king, according to the Malbim, and they ask for a military alliance. Yahushua says, you guys are nuts. You're from a faraway place. What good is a military alliance going to do for you? And then they say, you know what? We come from a very faraway place. L'shem Hashem Elokecha. We're coming for God's sake. Ki shamanu shamo. We heard all about him. Ve'ez kol asher asab b'mitzrayim. We heard all about that which he did in Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud. Ve'ez kol asher asal l'shnei malchei ha'emori asher be'ever hayarden. And we also heard everything that he did to the two Emori nations that were in Ever Hayarden, on the other side of the Jordan. L'sichon melech Heshbon, l'og melech Habasha. Right? Sichon and Og. Ha'bnei Yisrael, you know, defeated. Sichon and Og. Asher ba'ashtoros. Right? That was in Ashtoros. So we heard about all these amazing things. We heard about Mitzrayim. We heard about Sichon and Og. We heard about these wonderful things. We heard about God. We heard about how great he is. We want to come. Right? We want to come and l'shem Hashem Elokecha. Right? We want to come for God's sake. So many of the Mefarshim here say, one second, they forgot one major miracle. They talked about Mitzrayim. They talked about Sichon and Og. What about the Yarden? Right? Why not say, well, we heard about the whole miraculous passing through of the Yarden. The Yarden stomped and everybody passed through on dry land. You know, we heard about that. Amazing. How come they didn't say the Yarden? So the Radak and others say they couldn't say the Yarden. Why? Yeah, it's part of the trick, but why? Because the Yarden,
they live far away. They
oh, very good. Right? If they live far away, says the Radak, if they lived far away, they wouldn't have known about the Yarden. Sichon and Og and Mitzrayim, that was old news already. Right? Everybody heard about that. That you know, news traveled far already. Everybody heard about that. But the Yarden, it just happened. It just happened a short time ago. Right? So if they lived far away, they wouldn't have known that. So this was part of their trick. Part of their trick. They didn't want to say the Yarden. But now they see. Right? The Al-Sheikh says this also in the Malbim. He says, now we're changing our tune. Because they see Yahushua also wasn't biting. So again, they approach Yahushua and the Nesi'im, right? And they make their pitch. Yahushua's silent, and the Nesi'im question them. The Nesi'im say, you know, what's going on over here? You know, I don't know. Maybe you guys really live nearby. They say, uh-oh. The Nesi'im are onto us. So they turn to Yahushua, and they make a pitch to Yahushua, right? Yahushua then says, mi atem ma'ayin tavo. They say, uh-oh, Yahushua's also not, he's also not buying into this. So now they have to change their tune, and they come up, says the Malbim, with treaty number 3. And they say, you know what? Really what we're interested in is a religious covenant. We're interested in a religious alliance, in a spiritual alliance. That's what we're interested in. Okay? And therefore they say, it doesn't matter that we're from a far and distant land. Right? Why? Because if the whole thing is a religious, spiritual alliance, then we want to accept your God, we want to accept your religion, it doesn't matter where we live. Right? It doesn't matter if we live, you know, where we're a neighboring country, we live nearby, we live far away, it doesn't matter. Right? And that's why it also, says the Malbim, that's why they also mention all these miracles. Why? Because they're saying, we want to join your ranks. We want to accept God. We see the miracles that he did in Mitzrayim. We see the miracles that he did with Sihon and Og. We want to join in. Because we see that God controls nature. And that's why we're here. We want to join you. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomru Eilenu. Okay, and then Vayomru Eilenu Zekeinenu V'chol Yoshvei Artzeinu Leimor. And again, they're portraying themselves as messengers. Right? And they say, you know what? Our elders and all of the people of our nation told us to say, Kichu B'yedchem Tzeida L'derach. Take in your hands food for the road, Uluchu L'krasam, and go greet B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish nation. Va'amartim Aleihem Avdeichem Anachnu Ve'ata Kir Salon Bris. And tell them that we'll be your slaves, and we want to make a treaty. Okay? Now the Alshech picks up on this. He says this whole thing is ridiculous, right? These guys, it's like, you know, imagine, like, you know, you have a car salesman. He's trying to sell you something, and every 3 minutes he's changing his story, right? And you wouldn't buy anything from him. You know, one minute he tells you he wants one kind of treaty, the next minute they're telling you they want a different kind of treaty, then they change to a third kind of treaty. What's going on with these guys? Obviously they're a bunch of this is a big hoax. So they said, no, you have to recognize, don't blame us for this. You know, I know that we're vacillating here a little bit. But everything comes from Zekeinenu V'chol Yoshvei Artzeinu. You know, this script is not ours. We're just messengers. We're just telling you what our elders said. You know, they're blaming it on the elders. So don't blame us that we haven't mentioned this until now. But this is what we want. If you look at Pasuk Yud Beis, Zelachmenu Cham. Hitz dayadnu. He says, look, you know, our warm bread was is hot. Hitz dayadnu osomi batenu biyom tzeisenu lalechas aleichem. He says we overbaked it. The Mefarshim said, the Alshech explains that he says we overbaked this bread as we're coming out. Why? Because it's a very far distance to travel, and we wanted it to last. V'yata hine yavesh v'hayin nekudim. Look at our bread. Now they're trying to bring a proof that they're from a distant land. Look at the bread, right? If we were from a neighboring country, we wouldn't have bread that looks like this. No, we specifically overbaked the bread. Basically, we made it into hard crackers. You know, we did this so that it would last, so that we would have something to eat it, so that it wouldn't spoil so quickly. And still, it's a little bit spoiled. Pasuk Yud Gimel, ve'elu ve'ele nodos hayayin Hashem ilenu chadashim. He says, when we filled up these, look at these wine flasks. When we filled these up, they were brand new. Right, they were brand new wine flasks. Behine, hisbakanu, right, and hisbakanu. He says, and you look through the travels. What happened? They're cracked. Now they're old and they're cracked. Ve'ilas al moseinu una aleinu balu merov haderech meod. And he says, look at our clothing. Look at our shoes. It's all tattered. It's worn out from the travels. They're trying to prove to the people because they recognize that. The people are suspicious, the Nesi'im are suspicious, Yehoshua is suspicious. They say, look, listen, we're not lying to you. Right? Everything we're saying is coming from our Zekeinim, is coming from our elders. That's why, you know, it sounds like we're changing our story. Our elders told us to say all of these different things because they figured we should try different approaches. Right? And I'm telling you, you think we're from a nearby land? Look at us. Right? Look at our clothing, look at our food. We can't be from a nearby land. Of course we're from a faraway land. Yudale, vayikhu ha'anoshim mitzedam. Okay? So the people, right, and again, we're assuming this means the Nasiyah, maybe the rest of the people, they took mitzedam. They took their food. Okay? The Jews, meaning the Bnei Yisrael, took their food. Hashem lo sha'alu. Okay? So what does this mean? So there's many different interpretations of what this means. Rashi says tzedam is from the language here of tzad, tzayid, hunting, trapping. And he says, what happened? That these people ended up tricking the Jewish people, tricking Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael were suspicious, right? Yehoshua was suspicious, the Nesi'im were suspicious, but at the end of the day, they looked like they were from a faraway land. They didn't look like they were from a nearby land, right? So even though their story sounded a little strange, but it really looks like they are from a faraway land, and now this last story kind of sounds a little bit plausible, right? They want to make some sort of a spiritual treaty with us, a spiritual alliance. They want to, and also, you know, once you pull the religious card, you know, it's hard for the rabbis to turn you down. Right? They're pulling on Yehoshua. They're saying, you know, we want to accept God and we recognize the miracles. You know, what's Yehoshua supposed to say? You know, oh, that sounds great. Right? Sure, come on in. Right? Come on in. So, you know, so Rashi says, Vayikhu anoshim yitzedam doesn't mean that they took their provisions. It means they were trapped by their words. Right? Bnei Yisrael were lured They were enticed by the words of the Givonim. The Radak says again, the Vayikhu, what the Vayikhu they took. So some say that it means that they believed. Others say he said that some, that they actually ate from their food. Why? Because sharing their food was symbolic of the treaty. You know, once they agreed to the treaty, so now let's break bread together. Let's share our food together. So that, so he says some understand that it was literal that they took their food. And the Alshich points out also interesting. He says as pi Hashem lo sha'alu. He says that the people took from their food. So the Alshich says that not all of their food was so stale and spoiled. He said they also had fresh food, right? They had both. They had this bread that was, you know, like overbaked and spoiled, and they had some fresh food. So the Alshich says that really the people should have been alerted further. Bnei Yisrael should have been alerted that something's off with these guys. They're telling us this bread is old, but one second they have like, you know, some fresh fruit in the back. That, you know, how'd that happen? But they didn't. There's pi Hashem lo shalu. But they didn't. They didn't ask God. They should have turned to the Nevi'im. They should have come to Hashem and said, you know, wait a minute, we're a little suspicious here. What's going on? And the Malbim says, he says that really they could have asked. They could have asked what? They could have asked the Urim V'Tumim. Remember, they had the Urim V'Tumim. So he said they could have consulted the Urim V'Tumim and said, listen, we're not sure about these people. What's the story? Are they legitimate? Are they not legitimate? Is this real? Is this not real? They didn't ask. So Bnei Yisrael is kind of duped by the Givonim, even though the story starts out suspicious. In the end, you know, it sounds, you know, the last pitch of this religious thing sounds plausible. They look the part, and therefore Bnei Yisrael bites. And if we look, we're going to conclude now with Pasuk Tesvav, Vayas Lahem Yehoshua Shalom. Yehoshua makes shalom with them. Again, Yehoshua himself was suspicious, right? He himself said, you know, Mi'atem Le'ayin Basem, Le'ayin Basem. Okay? Yehoshua makes shalom. They make a bris, they make a covenant to keep them alive, right? They're not going to kill them, they're going to keep them alive, and they swear. The Nesiyim swear to them that we're going to have this bris, we're going to have this covenant, we're going to keep you guys alive, and we're going to keep it like that. Okay?
Yeah. Didn't they have to give the name of the country?
So it sounds like they got away with not doing it.
How can you make a covenant?
It's a good question. But they, you know, this nation, whoever they may be, again, they said, you know, we're not even going to tell you because it's so far away, you never recognize the name, you know. But they, again, you know, some of this sounds strange. You know, how could Bnei Yisrael be, you know, kind of like so duped by them? But in the end, they were very persistent and they were very persuasive and kind of. I think also that last piece was important. You know, when you finish with the religious piece, right? You pull the religious card. It's hard for the, it's hard for the Jewish people to turn you down. You know, it's I remember when I was a kid. You know, you don't want to do something, and your brother says to you, yeah, but it's a mitzvah. You know, how could you not get me my whatever? It's a mitzvah. So, that, you know, they're pulling the guilty religious card on you. Right? So here also, you know, they're pulling, once they pull that religious card, we're coming for Hashem, we recognize all the miracles. So, you know, Yeshua says, okay, you know, maybe they're legitimate. Maybe they really do want to come. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight, and then amidst Hashem next time. Next week we're not going to have a shir, because next week we have this the drug awareness program. That's the 16th. The week after that, Amir Tzashem will have a share, I think, right? That's the
Day after Tishba.
So I think, unless I'm leaving then, I'm not sure when I'm leaving exactly, but... Well, stay tuned, but hopefully we'll have that share, we'll finish parent.